We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dynasty Recast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network and our friends over at Game Time. Get into the game today, tomorrow, or the next day with our code that you'll hear later in the show. All right, week 10 is in the BOOKS. It's in the books, Dan. Week 10 is in the books. And that means that, you know, we're not great at math here at the Nice Trade Cast. So 10 is the halfway point of the season.
Wait a minute.
There's 20 weeks of the NFL season, in case you didn't know. We're a little couple weeks late on the halfway point. We're doing a risers and fallers, a broader view scope. We've been doing more specific things, talking about the goings-on of specific players week to week. Now we're going to talk about what has happened in the first 10 weeks of the season and how that has impacted dynasty value. Who's gone up? Who's gone down? Not who stayed the same, because that's been a lot of players.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun to see who, like, where the big movers are, whether it's up or down. Potential buying windows, potential selling windows, depending on the player and whether or not they're actually gaining value or just scoring points. So yeah, I always enjoy these types of shows. So it'll be fun to talk about some elite players and some stinkers.
All right, let's talk about a guy who I believe we hit on last week first. We're gonna go with risers first. Then you'll hear our lovely ad, and then we'll go followers. Our riser, we have two risers at the quarterback position. We had the first one, guy who was rising up your board, and he's rising up my board even more after this week. We have C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is giving little reason why he shouldn't be QB2 overall. You'll have to claw Patrick Mahomes out of my cold, dead QB1 hands because he's just the best quarterback in NFL history, so I don't understand why you would move him from QB1, but C.J. Stroud is making a good argument, and a lack of greatness from Josh Allen is making an argument for C.J. Stroud being QB2.
I don't know if I can put him at 2, especially because Mahomes isn't 1, but, I mean, he's definitely top 4, and if you don't have him top 4, we need to have a conversation and talk about what you're really chasing from your quarterbacks, because through 9 games, C.J. Stroud is 3rd in points per game. Yes, he's outscoring Patrick Mahomes. Yes, he's outscoring Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson. The list goes on and on. He is only currently being outscored in points per game, except not including last night's performance from Josh Allen, which was really good if you didn't watch the game. He was very bad. It was Josh Allen 1, Jalen Hurts 2, with a noticeable gap to then C.J. Stroud at 3. Lamar Jackson technically would be 3rd overall in total points scored, but in points per game, it is C.J. Stroud. And that's very easy to find, Nathan, by using the Fantasy Point Summary app on rotoviz.com. Make sure you get in there and get yourself a subscription. But just on raw ability, on raw data, looking at just fantasy points and just box scores, it's really hard to not have him, like you said, like 2, 3, 4, somewhere in there. I have him as 4. The numbers speak for themselves. His interception percentage is unheard of as a rookie. He's 15 touchdowns to two interceptions on, I mean, more than enough attempts. He's got over 2,600 yards, which I don't know if you know this, Nathan. The guy we're going to talk about next is the only person to have more yards than C.J. Stroud. So he's lighting it up with a bunch of no-names on offense on a team that was supposed to be horrible again, and yet here we are. They are in the playoff hunt. C.J. Stroud looks like an absolute world-beater, potential Hall of Famer. Like, if any of this continues at this kind of rate, he will be quarterback one this time next year.
I think that the biggest positive for C.J. Stroud, and obviously the Texans do lack a first-round pick, so that does hurt a little bit in this initial point, but they are going to expand past Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Like, that's not going to be, like, the 1-2 punch in the C.J. Stroud era. They're going to get another one. Like, both those guys have been very good, but I still don't know if either of them have the elite-type ceiling. I think they're both very good NFL wide receiver twos and what could be, you know, fantasy wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes. But the ceiling is not quite there yet for those guys. But from what we're seeing with Tank Dell, there's a chance that we're wrong about that ceiling being there. So we'll talk about him in a little bit, too. But with C.J. Stroud, I think there's only room to go up at this point. And, you know, the separation between him and Bryce Young, who we'll also talk about later, is only going to lengthen. So let's go to our another riser, a guy who I mistakenly was disparaging a couple weeks ago, Sam Howell. Sam Howell is going to be one of the top scoring fantasy quarterbacks this year. He is QB5. Now, the question here is Sam Howell a beneficiary of the Eric Bieniemy volume, or is he a legitimate quarterback one in the NFL and potentially a quarterback one in Dynasty?
Well, see, I think ability-wise, I don't think he's like an NFL QB1, if that makes, like, if we were talking, like, in fantasy terms towards the NFL, like, him being a top 10 or 12.
He's not a top 12 NFL quarterback.
Correct. I would say he's very close to that, but he still has room to grow. This is still, technically speaking, his rookie season, just based on the number of games he's played. So what he brings to the table, though, is kind of that gunslinger mentality. And he is a little bit mobile. He's more mobile than C.J. Stroud, who we just talked about, which the fact that C.J. Stroud is QB3 and he has 86 yards rushing on the season, I don't know if anybody's good at math here, but that's not very much. Sam Howell, on the other hand, has double what C.J. Stroud has, which still isn't a lot when you think about the Lamar Jacksons. And even like Patrick Mahomes has 100 more yards than Sam Howell. So the touchdowns are there. The turnovers are still there as well. But again, rookie season, even though it's technically his second season, but the weapons are phenomenal. It's a Bieniemy offense, which we like for now until he's gone.
I think that if I were a gambling man, I would put a decent sized wager that Eric Bieniemy is the Washington Commanders head coach next year. Like, there's no chance Ron Rivera survives the mess of this year. And like, Eric Bieniemy, like, unless he just like bombs every single head coach interview in the history of history, like, he's going to get the head coach job immediately or eventually. And why not it be the one that, you know, he unlocked the next level of Sam Howell in year two?
It could be. I thought you were going to make a gambling joke with Riverboat Ron. Well, you said you were a gambling man. I mean, that would be great. That would be obviously, you know, the most ideal situation. I don't know if that is, I would say maybe that's like a 50-50 at best right now. I don't think that really changes because of the weapons that he has. When you have someone like Terry McLaurin as your wide receiver one, who has proven time and time again that he is that guy, and then you kind of get the hot and cold players like your Curtis Samuels, your Jahan Dotsons. You have Logan Thomas at tight end, aging but still productive. Your backfield with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, who can do a whole plethora of things. It's just good enough where Sam Howell being good and having those weapons just leads to fantasy points. We're seeing it paying dividends. He's got almost 2,800 yards through 10 games. you know, up there in touchdowns. You know, Tua has 19, but then, you know, Howell's right there with 17. He does turn the ball over a little bit, but thankfully those don't count too much against us. So I think Howell is, I think he's probably a, oh man, that's tough. I think he's close to QB1 in fantasy, and I think he's closer to a QB1 in the NFL. Again, top 10, 12. I think Howell is closer to that in the NFL than he is in fantasy.
Yeah, just because there's so many guys from the Knights' perspective to put there. All right, let's move on to the running back position, and we won't go over every single one of these guys throughout this because we just don't have that time. But the RBs we have labeled as risers are Raheem Mostert, Devin Achane, and Kyren Williams. Devin Achane is the clear, like, most valuable of this bunch. So we can talk about him and sprinkle in a little bit Kyren. I think Achane is valuable regardless because he's shown that he is going to be ridiculously efficient. He's going to be one of the fastest players in the NFL. And also he's connected to a very fast offense with Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle. But let's start with a quick little bit on Kyren. How much do you think Kyren is a legitimate NFL RB1, and how much do you think it is victim of circumstance and he is, you know, not that, like, his volume is not going to be as sticky next year as Achane is going to be?
Yeah, I think Kyren's just one of those guys that's kind of benefiting from his situation. Now, I don't think he's necessarily, like, instantly replaceable because he has looked at least decent in this role. You know, a little bit undersized, but he does just enough to kind of keep you wanting, like, a little bit more. I wish there was a little bit more explosiveness, I think. Obviously, he's, like, quick, short areas, and he can get to the open field. And he has, I think, very mediocre, like, burst. I think he's quick, like I said, he's quick in those smaller areas. But he's so elusive that, well, maybe not so elusive. But anyways, I think that Kyren is somebody that will stick as at least a part of the offense. I don't think he's a bell cow type, and that's how they've been using him, even with, you know, the other some other guys coming in and being able to do kind of what they want. So Kyren to me is a good points now and potential points later. But the thing that I was doing with someone like Damian Pierce, who we knew was going to be points last year, and I assumed the Houston Texans would move on, and not only did they not move on, and he also proved to be bad, nobody sold, and people bought Damian Pierce. So I think Kyren is kind of in that same boat where he's going to get overvalued just because he's doing it on a team where there's something that's open and available. I think he's an RB3 at best in fantasy, in Dynasty even, and I wish there was a way for him to, like, go up. The problem is there's so many other guys in that RB2 category that have a solidified role, and Kyren's just kind of going through the motions right now. So I think he and Damian Pierce are essentially just the same guy 1 year separated from each other.
Yeah, I think one stat I'll give you from the NFL Stat Explorer on RotoViz that I think might surprise you is that, you know, some might expect, okay, a guy who has six touchdowns in only six games, or seven total touchdowns in only six games, that's a guy that might be playing a little bit over his skis and is going to see regression. But Kyren Williams is actually ranking 13th in fantasy points over expectation per game. So he's still, like, a, you know, high-end RB2, low-end RB1 in terms of playing above his expected level from the volume he's getting. I think that is, you know, a positive indicator for him. But I do think that in general, if I'm looking for points in 2024, I'm more likely to try and trade Kyren for a pick or something else than I am to roster him. Unless, obviously, I want points now and next year. But let's go to Devin Achane. He may come back as early as this week. How far are we putting him up our rankings after this, you know, hot, very hot but short start?
I mean, I think you have to have him in RB1. I think maybe like 8, 9, 10 is kind of that sweet spot. I struggle putting him ahead of someone like Josh Jacobs, but I think I have him firmly ahead of someone like Saquon Barkley. So I think there is a window there of like 8 to 10, maybe even a little bit lower depending on who else you like. But it's very clear that he is going to be a problem in this Miami offense. So I think Achan, you could have him as high as 6 where I would feel comfortable. Because, I mean, you're just not leapfrogging some of those guys who have the draft capital, who have all of the production. They have the teams behind them. They have either, you know, that big rookie contract or the second contract. There's just no way to get him that high. So I think Achan is locked in RB1. I don't think he's the fringe like 11, 12, 13, 14 range. I think he's firmly above that. I would just like to see, I want to see the continuation of the Mostert Achan where they're both putting up like 16, 18, 20 points. Always, rather than one of them doing it, one of them not, which pretty much has happened all year. So I'm not saying that like it hasn't happened. They've been very good together. I want to see that continuation because I also think that Raheem Mostert is quite good. He's always struggled with staying healthy. So if both of these guys continue to do it, I think Achan obviously is your RB1A on that squad, but Mostert has also shown that he can be that guy. So yeah, I mean, give me Achan in that top 10, he's probably still somewhat acquirable right now. You can probably still get him before he actually returns. And I struggle with pricing in that range too, because it's obviously more than a first. Are we paying like 2+ first for Devin Achan?
They'd have to be like playoff first at this point. Like I'm not risking like one of those ending up being like a top four first. Yeah. Because I think that there's still going to be concerns with Achan about, like, can he get the volume with his size? Or when he gets volume, is his efficiency going to decrease? I'm not concerned about those specifically myself. But when we look at, you know, January, February, people are going to be like, oh, do I want the 104 or Achan? And I think there's going to be people going to say they want the 104 because they don't trust Achan with volume because he hasn't shown it yet. He might show it over the next 5 or 6 games. But I think more likely than not, he probably still ends up being a low-volume, high-efficiency player for 2023. But I think that volume increases in 2024.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't see a lot of guys like this. I mean, quite literally every single play could be a touchdown. He's little, but you get him just to the edge. All he needs is space, and he's gone. And he runs... I don't want to say he runs recklessly because I feel like he looks so in control, but he runs without fear. He will run through whoever, and he's smaller than everyone out there. So, yeah, if he's healthy, if he can stay healthy, that I think that's probably our main concern right now. I don't want to say I know he's going to score points, but at this point, it feels like we can say we know he's going to score points.
Next, we'll go to wide receiver position. We have Tank Dell, breakout rookie, Adam Thielen, oldie but a goodie, and the Puka Punch. Now, I'm not the only one that was wary of the hot Puka Nacua absurd volume start, but it does seem like things have slowed down. Part of that is due to Stafford being hurt. Part of that's back due to Cooper Kupp being back. Looking at his Rotoviz fantasy point summary, I just mentioned it. Before with another player, he is not playing up to the level of his fantasy points expected per game. He ranks 51st among wide receivers in fantasy points over expected per game. And the reason is because the volume is so incredibly high that with that volume, you're expecting an incredible amount of points. And he did score a lot of points, but not like Calvin Johnson level of points. So that's why he does rank lower. And that as his volume decreases, that rank will probably increase. Still, the question is, does that volume maintain the rest of this year? And more importantly, from a dynasty perspective, does the volume of getting like 10 plus targets a game going to maintain for Puka Nacua? I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to project that, especially from, and I don't want to say no name because there were some people that were all over Puka Nacua, but his last 4 games, obviously with Stafford injured, Cooper Kupp coming back, he's had that one. He had the one nice game against Pittsburgh. Otherwise, you're looking at a 6.6 point performance, a 7.3, and a 6.2. And that was against Arizona, should have smashed. Dallas, understandable. And Green Bay, should have smashed. The breakout game, like I said, was against Pittsburgh. But you look at that front half of the season where he cooked Seattle and they've looked competent on defense. He cooked San Francisco, that San Francisco. He had a mediocre game against Cincinnati, who's been hot and cold. Cooked Indianapolis, who, again, you know, whatever. And cooked Philly, who has a great defense. So we can't say it's matchups. You know, Dallas is one thing, but everything else, it has been entirely target-based. But he also looks pretty good, too. So it's one of those things where I want to discount him and I want to slide him down just because we know that he's a product of volume. But at the same time, he's pretty damn good.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm by no means saying, like, Puka Nacua is not worth the first, or Puka Nacua isn't a top, probably, 24 wide receiver. It's more so that, you know, we've seen this with breakout, low draft capital or non-existent draft capital wide receivers, that they do not stick from year to year because other wide receivers come in. There's trades, there's free agency, there's draft picks. But the Rams seem to like him. He does seem to be playing very well. But, you know, we were wary of the floor with him not maintaining it. It does seem like it's not maintaining, is my main point.
All right, before we jump, I have just kind of a random one. Puka Nacua or DK Metcalf?
I mean, DK's been slow this year, but also the Seahawks' passing offense has been very inconsistent. For me, I think that's a pure, like, competing versus, especially now that Stafford is iffy, that's a competing versus rebuild. If I'm in a rebuild, I'm fine trading Metcalf for Puka. If I'm winning, I'm trying to win now, I think that you probably are better off with DK.
Well, and another thing to keep in mind, too, is Puka Nacua is 23, DK Metcalf only 25. I know it seems like he's been in the league forever because he came in at like 16 years old or whatever. Yeah, I think those two are pretty close for me. I think that's why I kind of framed it that way. But yeah, I think mid to low end wide receiver two, there's just so many guys. Again, there's so many, like, my heart and soul lies in that, like, wide receiver two category. I love so many of those guys. And I think a lot of them have the ability to leap to wide receiver one status. And I don't think Puka can. I think he has shown that with volume he can be great, but I don't think that it's sustainable.
As is Tradecast tradition, we're going to skip the tight ends. Let's go to the followers. But before we go to the followers, we are going to hear from our good friends over at Game Time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ROTOVIZ, that's ROTOVIZ, for $20 off your first purchase. Thank you, Game Time.
All right, let's go to the quarterbacks. We have the position that I've been maintaining for the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. Trevor Lawrence is Kirk Cousins. Bryce Young, rough start. Justin Fields, from an NFL perspective, rougher start. Where are you going with this one?
All right, well, first off, don't insult Kirk Cousins like that. Trevor Lawrence has been horrible. Not just like mediocre or bad. He has been horrible. We see very few flashes. Calvin Ridley has been abysmal. Like, dear God, that guy can't run his way out of a wet paper bag. I would have a really hard time having Trevor Lawrence as a QB1 right now, considering the full field of quarterbacks. Kyler coming back, looking like Kyler of old. Obviously, the throwing wasn't quite there yet, but seeing those feet, getting him the happy dance in the pocket. There's, Trevor's falling. You know, he got instantly leapfrogged by CJ Stroud. He's behind Tua Tagovailoa. I think I've got to have Kyler up there now.
Easily.
Deshaun, I mean, can we put Deshaun Watson above?
I would lean Lawrence just because I think that the long-term floor is so much higher. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is turning into like Blaine Gabbert here.
No. The problem is he's more Jimmy Garoppolo than he is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, potentially. Except for he does have the legs, which Garoppolo doesn't.
That's true. And that's another thing that Kirk doesn't have. Maybe he's Josh Dobbs because Josh Dobbs has legs. I would struggle having him ahead of Brock Purdy. And I know Brock Purdy hasn't been amazing, but we at least see it from some of these guys. And Trevor Lawrence, the only thing he has done at the NFL level is disappoint.
I mean, from an NFL perspective, he's like, you know, hashtag QB wins. He's won games with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I do think that from a statistical perspective, he has been a bit of an understatement based on obviously the hype of like, oh, best prospect since Luck, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not jumping ship on him yet, but 2023 numbers are poor. There's only 32 starting quarterbacks each week, and he is 34th in fantasy points over expectation per game. In comparison to 2022, he was 12th in that category. So much better statistically last year than this year. I don't know whether it has been they've been playing tougher defenses or they've been running the ball or what's been going on with Trevor Lawrence statistically. But I know obviously ETN has been very good. I'm not optimistic, but I'm also not like panic selling with Trevor Lawrence.
22nd in points per game, getting outscored by the likes of Brock Purdy, Sam Howell, Josh Dobbs by like 4 points per game. Yeah, I'm concerned, and I am sliding him down. And I get it. I loved him too. We all did. We all thought this was going to be the guy. And I don't know if it's the offense. I don't know if it's the players. They're trying to force feed some of these guys. I mean, we watched them force feed Christian Kirk for an entire season, and then Kirk got hurt, came back, got healthy, and they started to force feed him again, and the whole offense went to hell. I think the shining bright spot in Jacksonville is Travis Etienne. And I think they need to get back to showcasing him rather than trying to make Trevor do it all. And we talk about the legs. He's being outrushed by Patrick Mahomes, which is what it is. And I, 230 yards through 9-10 games, whatever it is. Cool. We'll take it. But I don't know that we can necessarily consider him in the rushing category. I mean, for the love of God, Josh Dobbs has 350.
All right, let's go to our next one, which is the running back position. We have Najee Harris down, which was kind of
like choreographed
and anticipated. The one that was less so from other people, we thought he'd be
Which people? Remind me of the which? No. I'm saying everybody else seemed to love him, right? Those people.
People who don't host the Dynasty Tradecast were excited for the breakout of Tony Pollard in the post-Ezekiel Elliott era. And suddenly, Tony Pollard has lost all of his abilities to play football. he is 35th in yards per carry. Despite the fact that he is 7th in opportunities, he is 8th in attempts. And, Dan, I know you don't have the lovely Stat Explorer in front of you, or if you do, pretend that you don't. Do you want to give an estimate of where he is at fantasy points over expected per game?
I would say -6,000%.
So the man who has his expected points per game is RB8. So based on his volume, he should be the RB8. But his fantasy points over expectation is 124. There are 123 running backs who are scoring higher than expectation than one Tony Pollard.
That seems good. That seems really good, honestly.
We aren't Tony Pollard guys. Is this a buy window at all, or is this just a clear void?
You know, I made the mistake of buying a couple of places because I did think that there was potentially some, like, low-end first-type value that you could get for Tony Pollard just because of the offense. And I got away from my actual stance on Tony Pollard in that he is a backup running back who exceeds at spelling the actual starting running back. And you can only use him by getting him in space, limiting his touches, and hoping that he breaks one. Well, he's got like 140 carries, which again, like you said, he's getting the opportunity. He's top 10 in carries. He's getting the targets, and all of that is accumulating to less than 750 yards of total offense. Two touchdowns, and Dallas's offense hasn't exactly been bad. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. The wide receivers seem to be doing okay. Even Rico Dowdle seems to find his way into the end zone from time to time. Tony Pollard is not that guy. He hasn't been that guy. He was a product of Ezekiel Elliott, who, may I add, has looked very spry in New England the last couple of weeks and actually kind of good, whereas Tony Pollard has looked very bad.
All right, let's finish off the show with the fallers at the wide receiver position. And I think that the first one of these, T. Higgins, I don't think he has market value dropped yet, but he has been very poor from a fantasy points perspective. We have Elijah Moore, who has been non-existent, only 2 10-plus PPR points per only two 10-plus PPR points on the season. And Quentin Johnston, who finally got in the end zone this past week, but has, despite Mike Williams being out, has done nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Quentin Johnston is a very clear, like, rookie not ready for the NFL player. We see nothing of what we saw on the tape. We see nothing from the highlight reels. That guy that we saw in college doesn't exist, at least not at this level. I don't, you know, it's hard to count somebody out in their first season halfway through, but he hasn't looked like a dominant NFL wide receiver one. And I will say Mike Williams also didn't look like a dominant NFL wide receiver one when he came in. He got hot and cold, injured, this, that, the other thing. So there, I wouldn't say he's done and like you can't account for anything, but it's going to take a big turnaround for me to have any kind of faith in someone like Quentin Johnston, especially in an offense with Justin Herbert. Like, he should be smashing, and he's just bad. Elijah Moore, that one's disappointing. I think that's a little bit of a product of Deshaun Watson missing some time, because I feel like when Watson has played, Moore hasn't been necessarily complete garbage, but also, you know, that offense, especially at the time, was running through Nick Chubb, and now it's just kind of a hodgepodgery. But I think the big story is T. Higgins. You know, obviously Joe Burrow not being healthy was a big part of that, but now he is healthy, and they've still really only used him in one game, essentially. Was he out this week? So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, scoring like 10 points a game on average, it's more than I thought, to be honest, but that's bad. He's had the game against Baltimore and then last week against Buffalo. That's really it outside of those two performances. You know, Burrow, again, not healthy, but he can only make so many excuses for if he's not getting open or whatever it is. And they're not using him down the field. He's been like a middle-of-the-field, mid-route runner all year. They're not using him underneath. They're not using him down the field. Everything is across, you know that like 10-yard range. So we'd like to see him explore the field a little bit more, really take advantage of the space, as one Bruce Dickinson said. But I'm not giving up on T. Higgins. I still think he is firmly one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. I just think right now it continues to be a really great time to buy.
That's my question as we wrap up here. Is it a good time? Like, is he cheaper Is he cheaper? If not, if so, how much cheaper is he than week one? Because, like, I have plenty of T. Higgins. I'm not selling any of it.
Yeah, but you're not dumb.
There we go. I'm going to flip that one. So
chalk that one up.
Flip it and just send it to Dan anytime he questions me.
But, like, and I'll be honest. If I could trade Puka Nacua for T. Higgins, I'm doing it yesterday.
Yes. Agree.
Like, I would trade Deebo Samuel for T. Higgins. I'll trade Drake London for T. Higgins. I'd trade Stephon Diggs for T. Higgins. DK Metcalf for T. Higgins. Like, I still think he's a fringe one. I think he's probably like a 14, 15 overall in my wide receiver spot because he's getting jumped by like Jordan Addison, guys like that. So I still think he's one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. In a great situation with Joe Burrow and just either a combination of him not being healthy and Joe not being healthy, Ja'Marr Chase taking over, something called Trenton Irwin existing. There's another guy named Tanner that they have that apparently also catches touchdowns. So it's basically everyone with T. Higgins this year. I still am in love with T. Higgins, though.
Yep. But we will wrap up as I've been like preaching the gospel, phase points over expectation. But we know, I'm wrapping up saying we know T. Higgins is having a poor season so far for him. But his fantasy points over expectation is wide receiver 205. So basically, if you have a pulse, you have a better fantasy points over expectation than T. Higgins. But have no fear, that is going to increase. The number is going to get lower. He's going to raise up the charts, and that Bengals offense is going to continue to straighten out. But other than that, that is what we have for this week. Any last words, Dan?
Oh, look forward to another lovely week of NFL football.
So, Dan, are you saying that you want to have a full Dynasty Risers and Fallers tight end show next week, or is your heart at peace with skipping tight ends?
Let me check my watch. Yeah, it's not tight end 30. I don't know. I think, well, that's our off-season show, like usual. We can mention it. It'll be like one of the like the cliff notes at the bottom of the show page.
All right, that should wrap us up for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Kadosh!
There it is.